Another incredible internship program to learn from. Lots of great tips, ideas, and strategies right now.
And here we go. Be sure to visit soundmind.app, peachjar.com, and nicholsstrategies.com. Advocating for public education, sharing our stories, and celebrating our schools, students, and staff. From crisis communications to media relations, social media, and everything in between, we're here to give you the best strategies, tools, and techniques to help you help others. Welcome to the School PR Podcast, brought to you by Peach Jar, Sound Mind, and Nichols Strategies. Here's your hosts, Matthew Jennings and Ryan Ferran.
And welcome back. Great to have everyone. Today's podcast is a webinar from our National Communications Internship Collab, and we had a great guest speaker, Alicia Mowry, who is the president of OSPRA, Ohio School Public Relations Association, and is the director of public information at the Delaware Area Career Center, and just does a great job with her internship program. Her setup and her organization is a little bit different, but she has so many really good ideas, so I wanted to bring that to you guys. If you haven't set up an internship, I want to point you to episode 105. There's many ways to do it, and you're going to hear another really good way today. But I give my recommendations and the whys behind those, because some people have set up internships and they come back and say, oh, you know, I wish I would have done this or would have done that, or, you know, we're doing it this particular way. And so in episode 105, I really explain the whys behind my recommendations. So before you launch into any internship, listen to episode 105. It'll save you a lot of time, energy, and it'll make your program even more efficient, which is the whole purpose of having the internships, not only to help students, educate and mentor them, give them another great avenue to do some of the work we do, but to save you time and really help promote your district and accomplish all your communication goals. So check that one out. Another one, if you haven't listened to yet, you will regret it if it happens to you and you haven't done it yet. Our very latest episode before this one, 107, where we have attorney Harold Freeman on talking about First Amendment auditors. And if it happens and you're not prepared, you're going to really kick yourself, because there's some easy things you can do, but know the law, know what you can do to set it up. So if you haven't listened to that, I'd actually stop this one and go listen to 107. Harold says it's just not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And he gave some really great practical advice, great conversation. Quick thanks to our sponsors, Nichols Strategies. If you need some help with what you're doing, you have a crisis, don't know what to do, check out nicholsstrategies.com. They also have a ton of case studies on their website, so nicholsstrategies.com. If you need some help with anything in the communication realm, Peach Jar, they are everywhere. They are awesome. We also have a podcast just taking a deep dive with the entire Peach Jar team, so you can learn all about them. Check out Peach Jar. They do the online digital flyers. It is a time saver and very efficient. And they have a bunch of new exciting tools to help people and school districts coming out as well. And check out soundmind.app if you need to get some mental health help and programs in your district. They have all of that taken care of. Check out soundmind.app. And do us a favor, if you would, give us a like on social media. We have an Instagram, we have a Facebook page, Twitter, X, all that fun stuff. We post some clips from the show, keep you updated on webinars and all that. So please give us a like on social media. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in creating an internship, just joining our internship collab, we have, it's pushing 200 people in there from all over the country. So many really good ideas, different formats, strategies to work with students and amplify your district's voice 5-10-fold. It's incredible. We'd love to have you check out the link. If it's not in this episode yet, the description, check out previous episodes. You can join. It's free. We do webinars, check-ins, and meetings, and it's pretty valuable for those interested in internships. All right, here is Alicia Mowry. All right, welcome to the meeting, National Communications Internship Collab. Great to have everyone here. We are thrilled to have Alicia Mallory here today as our guest speaker out in Ohio, also the president of OSPRA. That is very cool. I didn't even know that, but I thought Alicia would be great. I think it was our last meeting, and we were in the small groups, and you had some really great ideas that you were doing with your internship that I wrote down and plan on stealing right away. So I begged you to do a presentation on your internship, and you graciously agreed. So I really appreciate it. So I will turn it over to Alicia. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And I've stolen ideas from this group already. So I know a lot of you are doing really great internships, and some of this stuff you might hear it and you say, oh, of course I'm doing that. But if there's any small tips or tricks you can steal, I'm happy to hand them over. I'm going to share a presentation only because I'm a really visual person. I like to see what people are doing. And let me see if I can. We tested it. Promise it worked. See if that works. And this will also keep me on track because I will otherwise ramble. Nice. All right. So our internship program, I even have a little table of contents. I'm going to spend just a minute talking about how our school operates because Ryan and I were just talking about this ahead of time. We're a little bit different than some traditional K-12s. So it's important to know that going in because that does impact how I find my interns and how we use them. But then we'll talk about how I do find them, the kind of work they do for us, the resources that I share with them to make it happen, how the district benefits, what's in it for the interns. And then I did ask them for a little bit of their feedback about, you know, what should I share with this group, you know, as interns in this program, what would you want them to know? So DACC in a nutshell, like I said, I'll keep this short, but we are a career and technical education school. So some of you have CTE classes built right into your K-12 district. When it was decided in the 70s that we needed career technical education in my area, they built one district that's shared by 12 different high schools. So students can choose to come here. We're still a public school, but it's just like if a student signs up for music or jewelry making that's right down the hall, they can sign up for biotechnology or welding or firefighting, and they go down the street. So we're just an offsite elective that's shared among all of these different school districts. So we're located just north of Columbus, Ohio. We have about 2,500 students, and we are growing rapidly. We're at capacity, so we're just trying to increase our facilities and how many programs we have. We also have about 500 adult students. So our high school students follow a normal high school schedule. And then in order to offer more programs, when the normal high school day ends, we have some classes only for senior students that go from about 2:45 to 5. And then at 5 p.m., adult students come in and they take classes till about 11 p.m. And then we have classes for adults that run on the weekends. So we kind of run 24 hours a day, which is just a really cool resource for the community. Like I said, we're an offsite elective. We're a school of choice, but still a public school. And most of our students are juniors and seniors. So just keep that in mind. Our public relations department focuses on enrollment outreach because students have to know this is an option in order to sign up for it. But we also do a lot of business partner engagement, initiatives with our legislators, internal communications with our staff, and then obviously the communication with current students and families. So it's kind of who we are in a quick little recap. So how we find our interns. Because we're a school of choice, we have what we call an ambassador program. And I've been with the district for about 15 years. I inherited this program. And what it is every teacher, we have about 35 high school programs that students can choose from. Every teacher nominates a few students that they would like to be speakers on behalf of our district to help promote their program. They go through an interview process. They have to answer some essay questions, which I then hoard and use as future storytelling. So they might answer, you know, why did I choose to come here? What am I getting out of it? What have I learned while I've been here? What are my future plans? And then I will scroll through those months later and go back to the students and say, hey, you had a really great answer for this. Can we use this and do a social media post about you or a quick video? So that's that whole interview process is really handy. And then they undergo a 1 to 2 day training of just public speaking? How do we talk about our school? What is our vision and mission at our district? If you had to explain what you do to a legislator, how would that be different than a kindergarten student? Because we do a lot of outreach as far as career readiness with our partner districts. So they do have to talk to young students and adults. So they go through some public speaking training. So out of that ambassador program, there's usually 70 students in that program. I will just sort of naturally find some students who are good at communicating or want to rise above and do more. And they'll kind of naturally fall into some initiative that I'm working on. So there's that group that's already kind of raised their hand and said, hey, I want to be involved. We also have a digital design class. It's like digital communications. So again, this goes back to students choose to enroll in one of our programs and have sort of this focused, they kind of load their elective credits into a focused program. So digital communications is one of those programs. So these are students who are basically, you know, training to do what I do. So I'll go into that program and say, hey, I'm launching a podcast with our superintendent. Who's interested in podcasting? Who's studying this and has experience with it? And they'll become my podcast interns. Or I have a video I need to make, and they'll sort of naturally bubble up from there. Out of that class, though, there's usually one or two students who become, who I call them my lead interns. So that I'm not constantly reaching out to 20 or 30 students, I have one or two who become those lead interns. And those are the students that I will email, and I'll tell them, hey, I have this project. Who would you recommend? Who would you assign to this? I have this photo opportunity. Tell me who you're assigning to this photo shoot, and I will connect with them. So it really gives those students some leadership experience in going to their peers and saying, hey, I'm tapping into you for your expertise in this area. You're going to go help Mrs. Mowery on this project. The third thing is, I don't know how local or nationwide this is, but we have a thing called work-based learning, and it's an initiative assigned to all of our districts that students have to log so many work-based learning hours. So this is time that they spend working with business professionals to get that real life experience, and working with me counts towards those hours. So there's incentive for our teachers to let me work with their students or take their students out of class because it counts for those work-based learning hours that we then report back to the state. And then the last piece is the reputation of just working in our department has grown. When I first started in this district 15 years ago, I had a hard time getting students to think that it was fun to intern with me because school was boring, you know, it just wasn't exciting. But I think we've done so many cool things that the reputation precedes itself, and they can see some of the stuff that the interns before them have gotten to work on. So the type of work I give them, these are three of my rock star interns. I had so much fun working with these three. And some of the things that I give them are what I call repetitive tasks. So this is just an example of a social media campaign we do every spring. It's a simple Google form. We call it the Senior Spotlight. We put out a Google form and ask students to tell us their name, their program, what they're doing after high school. We ask for pronouns. We ask all the things, their Instagram tag, and then to upload a school-appropriate photo of themselves. And my interns create these graphics. They write the social media post based on a template. They post it to Buffer, where it can get approved either by me or my lead interns. I give them that ability to approve other people's posts, and it runs itself. They run this all through the spring, and it gets a lot of attention, and I reuse these posts for a lot of different things to talk about our students. But anything where I can show them once what my expectations are, and then it's repetitive, and it's something that's really time consuming for me. I would never be able to keep up with this in the spring, but my two lead interns run it, and I ask them to assign four other students to assist them. And so now those two lead interns are in charge. They have their assistants. And I go up and I check with them every once in a while. How's it going? Do you need anything from me? Can I help you promote this further? What can I do to help? And then that also puts them in the position of kind of assigning stuff to me that, you know, hey, Mrs. Mowry, we need help getting this to the parents. Can you put it in the parent newsletter? Things like that. So this is just one great way that it's wildly successful. Photography is a really easy button to use my interns for. And again, a lot of our digital communication students are studying photography, but I have those couple of lead students where I'll say, hey, we have a job fair. So the top photo is from a recent job fair. And the bottom photo is a business partner tour where lots of business partners want to come in and see our facilities. And so anytime one of those happens, I create a Google Doc, and the Google Doc has the date, the time, the location, what DACC staff person is in charge, like who's leading that tour or who's in charge of the job fair, because it's not always me. And I send that to the lead interns and I say, tell me who you're assigning to this photo shoot, just so I know who to get the photos from. And then I include a link to a Google folder where they can drop all the photos. So that top picture from the job fair, I didn't know this was going to happen. This business partner, EMI, they're an environmental management industry. And the two gentlemen in the black and yellow shirts, those are our alumni. So they brought our own alumni back for this job fair. And I have reused this photo 20 times for different things because it's such a great example of working with business partners, but I didn't take this photo. It came from my interns. And then I just love the look on our business partner faces as they tour our facilities and see this is our welding lab. So I feel like when students show up with photos, people are much more likely to just let their photo be taken versus if I show up with a camera, especially adults are like, oh, don't take my picture. So it gives great experience for our students. And then video production is another great one. They have all the fancy equipment in their digital communications lab. These interns, this was from years ago when we renovated our building. We wanted to do a video series. So I got our superintendent and some administrators to come do a video series with me about the updates of the construction project. And the girl in this picture, Emily, she was so shy. She barely talked in class, and I put her in charge. Whether she liked it or not, I put her in charge of the two gentlemen. And so she had to tell them, hey, tomorrow, wear your boots. Remember, you know, this type of clothing. Get your batteries charged in your camera. We're going out. We're meeting Mrs. Mowry on the construction site. And she did an amazing job. And she's an alumni now, and she's working for a marketing communications business and just absolutely loving it. So it was a great experience for her. They edited all the videos for us. We put them on YouTube, and the community loved seeing these video updates. I also provide this to some of our teachers in the fall. This is just kind of a list of different things interns could work on, but I organized it by the type of student who would thrive working on that project. Are they creative? Do they need to have attention to detail? Is it time intensive? Does it require some kind of writing, or can it be location flexible? So that way they can go through this and they can say, hey, I have this really creative student, but they're just flighty. Maybe they're like all over the place. They would be great for this specific project. Or I have one student who has really good attention to detail. Like they will catch everything, but they're not super creative. Great, I have a project for them. So they're able to kind of look at this and feed me the types of students who would thrive in any one of these projects. So some of them are, we have the job board promos. We host a job board on our website for community partners or business partners to post open job positions. But that's one of those repetitive, time-consuming things where they fill out a form, we have to post the job, and then promote it. And I can ask my interns to sort of handle that repetitive task for me. The podcast recording, those senior spotlights that I showed you earlier. So those are all options on here. Some of the resources that I use with them, I tell my students, look, I know you know how to use InDesign and Photoshop and Illustrator. I love all of those tools, but the best way to share design resources is through Canva. So if you do work with me, it has to be done in Canva. That way we can repurpose things and share them. So I have a Canva class. We have Canva for Education, and I have a Canva class that I add them to. So if you don't have it, it's free to you. Make sure you get the free version. We use Buffer for our social media posts, and we're looking at class intercom. I'm talking to them later this week. I love our class intercom reps, that we may be shifting, but right now we use Buffer. It works the same way. They have moderated access. So my lead interns, anything they post, they know that I need to approve it, but anything that the interns under them post, they have the ability to approve it. And my rule is like, you can't post your own stuff. I have people look at everything I do. I don't want you to have that responsibility to feel like you're the only one who has eyes on your work. So there's different levels of approval. We have a Google Drive. That's where they can dump photos. That's where we share notes. If we have a timeline or a process for projects, it's all in there. And I know Remind has just been purchased, but we use Remind for text and email. I usually send them an email with the details, and then I text them and I say, hey, check your email. There's a new message in there. And that tends to work really well for them. So as a district, some of the ways that we benefit is we have boots on the ground. And I know you are all in the same boat. Sometimes we work on these really high level projects. We're stuck in our office. We're only talking to the superintendent and some other administrators. But they keep me grounded, and they are my boots on the ground that I have students I can go to. I have a reason really to go out into the high school and talk to them. So they keep me really connected with the student body. They give me a lot of fresh ideas. They are not yes people. So I'll run ideas past them and they'll be like, no, no, do not do that. And I say, okay, I hear you. Some of them do become future freelancers. So this presentation is all about the unpaid interns, but those three students, the three ladies I showed you earlier, two of them have graduated and have become paid freelancers for us. My boss will not approve more staff in my department, which I totally understand, but he did approve a budget for a consultant or a freelancer. And so I shopped around and I looked at different companies I could hire. And these two girls, by the time they graduated, had already spent 2 years working with me, working with our brand, knowing how to post with our things, understanding how to use all of our software. And so I hired them for, I think they're each $25 an hour. And I can get a lot of work from them for that time. And it's work they can put in their portfolio. I'm a reference for both of them. So it's a win-win. And they absolutely love it. They find it everything I give them to be fun. So working with these interns also gives me more content. I can send them out to cover some of those things I talked about earlier. Sometimes I hear about something going on in the school or a really cool project that somebody is working on. And I just can't get there. So I can email my interns and say, hey, can you go down to the engineering program? I heard they're working on this really cool Lego project. Just go talk to the teacher, get a video, send it to me. Let me know if you have any questions. And what they come up with is usually really cool. And from maybe from a different perspective than I would have approached it. Like I said, they make good sounding boards. I'll come to them with an idea and they either improve on it, they approve of it, or they give me their very honest feedback. And then it really gives me a lot of purpose. You know, when I do get stuck in those kind of high level administration only meetings all day long, remembering why I'm here and helping them and working with them really just it improves my work-life balance and makes me excited to come to work to see what they get out of being here in school. So what do they get? Luckily, this list is a little bit longer than what I get. So they get experience. They get to see how, you know, all of this works in the real world. So these pictures on the left, these are the students that I roped into doing this podcast with me. And just yesterday, we were talking about the editing process that they hear in the interview, all the ums and the uhs and the stutters and the starts and the stops. And I showed them my post-editing finished product, and we were able to look at the audio file, and I showed them all the cuts that I made and the process we go through and why did we choose the music that we chose. And then, you know, they come down and they set up all the equipment and they test it for me. So they see this in real life, not just hearing a finished product that they found online and wondering how it got to be so polished. They could see it from beginning to end. the whole leadership concept, I mean, this is probably one of the biggest outcomes that a lot of my students and my interns get is that leadership experience. It really pushed them out of their comfort zone. One of my lead interns right now is, again, a very shy, probably wouldn't have really bubbled to the surface in her program, but she ended up being one of my interns, and the panic on her face when I told her, hey, I want you to choose like four students to report to you. She's like, you're not going to choose them for me. And I said, no, this is your project. You tell me who's going to report to you. And then everyone's have to remind her, you need to just delegate. You can assign things to them. You don't have to do it all yourself. And I think that's been really empowering for her. I write every one of them a generic letter of recommendation at the end of the year. I email it to them. I print them a copy. But then I also open it up to if you ever need a professional reference, something customized. I've filled out a lot of forms for students over the years, been a reference, gotten the phone calls, and I'm always happy to brag about what they can do. They don't expect this or ask for it, but I usually give them a little customized gift. Last year, I found stickers on, is it Redbubble? I found stickers that I could get that kind of matched each of their personalities. And I bought blank water bottles from Amazon, and I just put the stickers on the water bottles and wrote them a nice thank you note, and they were over the moon. I write a letter home to their parents, and I do have just a form letter version that in a pinch, I can just grab it and insert information, and it's still lovely and glowing. And as a parent, I would love to receive this about my kid, but the more I get to know the kids, usually the more I'm customizing it. And I want the parents to really know what these students did. I have a 12-year-old, and one of the things I really want for my kid is to be seen in school. And so it's really nice that they get this recognition that someone has noticed that they've gone above and beyond. I mean, these kids aren't doing it for a grade. They're not doing it for extra credit. They're not getting paid. So for a parent to hear, hey, your son or daughter really went above and beyond and did this extra work for the district, this is how much we appreciate what they've been doing. I think it goes a long way. And then as much as I can, I give them public credit for their work. So if a photo shows up in the newspaper, they get photo credit in the byline. If it's on our website, they get photo credit. Anything like the podcasters, really all they're doing at this point is setting up the equipment and recording, but I still give them production credit when I post the podcasts, and then they become Googleable. Skylar in this photo came to me the Monday after our podcast post. He said, Mrs. Mowry, my name is in the paper. Our local newspaper did a short little story that we're launching this podcast, but he was so excited that his name was in the paper because he was part of this podcast. And that was just a really neat thing for him. So as they Google themselves and they show up, they have this digital footprint, then the work they do for me is what shows up. And then I asked a couple of my interns for feedback. So this is Hannah. Hannah, actually, I don't know if everybody has this. Some of our schools have this thing where when you graduate, you can ask someone to be your person. They call it your handshake person. So you can ask a guest to come to your graduation and come up on stage, like from the audience, and shake your hand when you get your diploma. So Hannah asked me to be her handshake person. She was one of my first interns. She is now like a top level executive at a downtown ad agency in Columbus. But what they told me is, A, they want to be seen. Like I said, they want to know somebody besides their teacher has their back and sees their talent. And then they said it's really valuable for them when we take the time to get to know them. It's not just, hey, you are a student and you're able to do this work, come do this work, but to get to know them as a person. And I always ask my interns after working with them for a while, what have I not asked you to do that you want to work on? Like, what experience do you want to have that I haven't given you yet? And I tell them, I'm not going to make up work just to make up work, but I can find ways to fit you into things we're already doing that gives you that portfolio work you would like to have in your back pocket. So that was what they told me, that it means a lot for them to be seen as a person and to have someone besides their teacher really get to know them. So that is it. In a nutshell, I wanted to save time for discussion because I know you all have a lot of great things that you do with your interns.
That was amazing. I knew it would be amazing. So good. You guys can leave questions in the chat. I have a few that I'm ready to fire away, but go ahead and leave them in the chat if you guys want to, or pop on in a second. I love the recruitment part and the teacher nominated. I think that is so cool. And I think one of the things you talked about, it took a little bit to get your reputation up and going. But I think that really helps a lot is the, you know, the interview, they have to be nominated. It makes it a little bit more exclusive. So it has a little bit more prestige, and we do similar things here, but the teacher nomination. So can they, does a student okay? Like, yeah, I want to be nominated. Because what if they don't want to do it? Or how does that work? The teacher nomination part.
So after the teacher nominates them, they get invited to an interview. And if they say, hey, no, thanks, I don't really want to do it, then they don't have to. And there's very few things that would kick them out of the running once their teacher nominates them and we bring them in for an interview. There'd have to be something kind of, we check their grades and their attendance because there are things we ask them to do that pull them out of class. So if their attendance is low or if their grades are struggling, they can't be part of the program.
That's awesome. I just think it's, even if they never get into your program, it must be so nice to have a teacher endorsement saying, I nominate you. I think you'd be great for this program. So, I mean, even if it doesn't work out, I think that's amazing. It's like when we do the interviews, if a student never makes it in, at least they have the experience of going through a panel interview and answering questions and dressing up. So I love that. Yes. Yeah, Sarah was asking how many, and I had the same question. How many students do you have in your program?
So in working directly with me, I try to have no more than maybe like six go-to people. So I'll have like six interns that are my lead people. And if they need to bring in additional help, if they need to assign projects, then I empower them to do that. So we may end up, you know, throughout the course of the year, I may end up working with 20 or 30 different students, but it's those six lead interns that are in charge of helping me find the additional support.
Oh, that's interesting. Carla was asking, struggle with students finding time and getting excused from class to manage projects. How do you manage their time and class? And then how do you hold them accountable if they don't follow through on an assignment?
So the time away from class kind of goes back to how we're structured. Our students come for a 3-hour time slot in the program of their study. We call ourselves a super elective. So if they're in that digital communication program, they're in that class for 3 hours. So it gives them a lot of flexibility to come and go. We also, with this work-based learning, have the ability for students to go off-site. So even if they're not working with me for work-based learning, they might not come to class that day. They may go to a different company and work with that employer as part of their class time, as part of their assignment. So that makes us really flexible. But I also give projects to students that don't have to be done during class time. If they want to work on it remotely from home, they can do that remotely from home for those students who don't have that flexibility. And then holding them accountable, luckily that doesn't tend to be too much of an issue. Most of the students, by the time they've made it to me, whether it's because a teacher recommended them or they've gone through the interview process, they've kind of been vetted. But on the few occasions that it's been hard to find somebody to follow through, I either lean on the teacher and have that teacher kind of give them those reminders. Or there was one time when I basically just abandoned. I said, all right, abandon ship. This kid's not going to finish it. I'm either going to power through and not ask them again, or I go to someone else and say, hey, can you jump in and help out?
So they are in a class for you then?
So it's not a class with me. The digital communication class is one of those 35 programs that we offer. And so there is a teacher for that program. And I'll lean on that teacher to kind of give them reminders and keep them on task.
Yeah, one advantage we have, the way we format ours, is as an after school. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is not kind of doing things or making the grades, so to speak, we just, because they're not in a class, we just kind of say, come back when you have more time. It's usually a time issue where they're trying to do four different things, that they're in band, they play soccer, and they're trying to squeeze us in too. So we just kind of, that's the nice thing about not doing in a structured class. You're not going to have kids sitting in the back of the class not doing anything. It's kind of like, you know, you're not cutting it. We got to cut you, so to speak. So that's kind of an advantage.
the way we have it. I love just your whole, the Delaware Area Career Center, what you guys do, that whole philosophy. I think that's super cool. So you have team leads. That's something we kind of developed over the years too, which is, you talked about what they get in that leadership. That has really worked well for us. Can you talk, do you have any like other team managers and stuff? You said you kind of pick them to do different projects. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on getting them that leadership experience, which is so important?
Sure. So the natural leaders, because I really do push them to be leaders, but the students who their first year working with me tend to follow through and meet those deadlines. And frankly, the ones who respond to my emails, the ones who will communicate back with me, I will go to them that next year and say, hey, I'll just ask them, will you be one of my lead interns? Will you help me train the next upcoming group? Will you be my go person? You're going to be the person I look for when I come into class. And they look for me. I come into class and I see their head pop up and they're ready. You know, Mrs. Mowry came to talk to me. I'm ready to do whatever it is that needs to be done. So there isn't really a formal process other than I kind of identify the people who could use a little bit of push, but also, I know are reliable, or the ones that kind of bubble up to the top as leaders and just ask them.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have a very similar concept where we had a student managing editor who was like the highest person and oversees our individual team managers. Then we decided to do kind of two managers, but they're basically our leads. Same concept where they oversee, they help stuff, and they're the first line of whether it's editing, copy, you know, proofing stuff. And that has saved us a ton of time. And it also gives them that leadership experience. So that's great. Sarah was asking, do you have any prereqs for your interns to get in? Do they have to have any qualifications or meet any standards?
Nope. They don't have to have any qualifications or any certain classes. I really only approach the kids who I think can handle whatever project that we're working on. But it does go back to grades. I do check grades and attendance because I don't want them to put their grades on the back burner to do the stuff that they're doing for me. And if there's anything I'm asking them to do that pulls them out of class, like some of those photo shoots, I want to make sure that their attendance is high enough that it won't negatively impact their attendance.
Yeah, for us, we don't have any real prerequisites. You don't have to have any GPA, and we take freshmen through seniors. Because if they want to be in there, they're going to want to do it. They're going to be kind of ambitious and really gung ho, which is great. Attendance and all that, you kind of see that going through, but as far as getting them initially, I don't see much advantage of having any kind of barriers to getting in. So that's worked well for us. I love what you do with kind of the fun projects too. And, they really enjoy it. And that word of mouth kind of spreads with the reputation of the program. Something that, you know, we started out doing a podcast years ago, and it was kind of like to help just tell our stories. And then the numbers weren't great, so we just turned it over to the students and said, do whatever you want with this. And they do fun, you know, Taylor Swift album reviews and basically whatever they want, but they're still creating media and they enjoy it. So I think that's a key element of your program, is where, you know, it's obviously it's helping support your office and spreading the good word of the district and the students and staff, but you know, it's an enjoyable for them. They have fun with it. So I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Any other questions that anyone may have? The letter home idea, I think, is awesome too, because our parents are so trusting, and sometimes I'll go 3 years with an intern and not meet their parents. And I'm like, I thought about doing, we do end of the semester, like kind of luncheon parties, celebrations, but it's just with the students, and I'll bring the superintendent, we'll come and thank the kids. But we're missing that parent piece where it's like, I want you to know how amazing your kids have been and like how great they are. Cause I know I don't think they're going home and, you know, sitting down chatting with you for an hour at dinner. I don't think that happens. So, but I love the letter home to the parent, just like, hey, your kid was amazing, and this is kind of what they did. I think that's a great idea that I'm definitely going to steal. Another fun thing we did recently is one of our interns convinced us to do a TikTok account for our district. So she did a whole presentation and she did a follow-up one about the algorithm and analytics, but they love doing that because they're on TikTok all day long. But learning about that and the videos and the algorithm and the science behind it, mm-hmm. they've really enjoyed that. So that's been kind of cool for them too.
Nice. Yeah, one of my my intern who graduated, and so technically she was a paid freelancer when she did this, but I had a whole campaign about our community job board, trying to promote those jobs that are posted on our job board. And I said, Jane, I'm out of ideas. I said, I can only come up with so many ways to say, hey, look at our job board. There's new jobs posted. So can you create a series of posts for me? I swear in 20 minutes, she said, well, I looked back at your previous posts and based on the ones I got the most amount of views and hits, I created this series of promotions for you. What do you think? And I said, that's amazing. That was so worth the, probably took her an hour. And so like, for $25, I got a whole, series, and people love the job post because they're for the community. Our business partners love it. Our parents love to see that we're connected. So it has a lot of payoff.
The one project you did too, with the kind of the senior shout outs with where they're going and the template kind of work. I think that's so great too, because that's something, you're right, it is time consuming. You probably couldn't do it yourself because it's going to take forever, but to have somebody, simple form, but to do that work, plug in the templates, the kids get to see themselves, their parents get to see them celebrated. I think the return on investment is great. And for some of those students who may not be the most outgoing, but they have something, a task, it's kind of graphic design. I think I love that idea as well.
And the students create their own template every year. So they create the design template. It's theirs. And there's one template for each year. So, on Instagram, on the grid, they always do like the down arrow for last year, a blank spot, and an up arrow for this current year. And then the new template starts. And at the end of the year, I take a picture of all the students who worked on it and celebrate them on social media, say thanks to these interns for running this campaign for us. And congratulations on a job well done.
I think giving them to the, you can design this, just makes them so much more into it, appreciate it, and they see their work. And so it's great to have concepts for them, but I totally agree that they have to have some creativity, some ownership and control. We recently started doing a magazine and somebody asked, why isn't the feather on the front, like our kind of district emblem? And it was like, because the students designed it, they're putting in all this work, and we had that conversation. So they get to have ownership on it, but they feel so much pride in it because they created this. They weren't told just to plug in these things, copy and paste. This is how exactly I want it. Giving them the freedom, I think, makes their work so much more enjoyable. So I love that philosophy that you have with them.
Absolutely. We even had, we have a cybersecurity program. And so one of our students, was really into spreadsheets, really into, all the detail work. And she created this elaborate spreadsheet that we just keep reusing every year where it'll assign a person to, it's the form when you submit the Google form for your senior spotlight, it drops into this Google sheet. And she created all these like little algorithms. So it assigns it to a person. And then as you create the post or you schedule it, and you check things off, it'll tell you in the first column what's left to do. Like this is incomplete. You still have to design the graphic. It's incomplete. You still need to do this. Well, now it's complete and the whole thing turns a different color. So she built that spreadsheet for us and we use it every year now.
That's incredible. Do you take just juniors and seniors?
So most of our district is made up of juniors and seniors. We have a couple of mm-hmm. programs that are freshmen and sophomores. So that is one advantage to us. I would totally work with freshmen and sophomores if we had more in our district, but most of our students are juniors and seniors.
Yeah, that makes sense. For other districts, they have access to their high school district. They have all grades, but they just do juniors and seniors. I totally go the other way. I take all grade levels, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Take them as freshmen, sophomore. By the time they're juniors and seniors, they're amazing. They're so honed into your program. They're the intern leads. They're running the thing. So even though they have a little less experience, I would take young as you can, just because they'll learn more. And we've had students, several, that have been in us from freshman year to senior year, and they are just amazing by the time they're done.
I can only imagine like having a couple of years with them. Then they know you, they know your processes. So Carla, are the kids only covering the high school, or do they go out to other schools in the district? So for most of the projects they do for me, they're covering our high school events. But we do have some from that larger ambassador program. If you remember at the beginning of the presentation, we have like 70 ambassador students. They get trained to go out into our associate districts, our partner schools, and do some of that like career readiness curriculum with our younger students. So that bigger group of students is used to do that. The ones that intern specifically with me, mostly about our district.
Our interns, we have 11 schools, one comprehensive high school where all our interns are at, and they cover primarily the high school because that's where they're at. But we do make sure that we cover the middle schools and elementary schools and events, back to school nights. And the kids actually love going back to their old middle schools and elementary schools. They have a blast doing it. And that way we can get more equity throughout the coverage. So for us, we know that they're going to cover more of the high school stuff because that's what they know, but we definitely push them out to the big middle and elementary schools and their events. And they actually really enjoy doing that because they're kind of the big shot on campus going back. And that's how some of the interns learned about the program too, is because they had one of our interns go to their middle school play or something, or a concert. And they're like, who are these students in these high school students in these blue shirts? And so it's kind of neat to see the kids go back to their old schools.
Yeah. So Jasmine asked if I give the interns any feedback. I give them feedback all along the way, and I'll report back to their teachers, not necessarily in a tattletale, like they're not doing a great job kind of way. But what I like to tell my interns is the very first time I ever wrote a press release, my boss crossed out every single word except for the. She left a the uncrossed out, and everything else was like marked through. So, and that was so helpful to me because she sat down and explained to me why it just didn't work. It wasn't a good press release. So I tell them that, and I give them feedback along the way, whether it's, let's do a better job on grammar and spelling in a writing piece, or, hey, this doesn't really match our brand, but here's how we can adjust it and improve it. And I think they appreciate that. You know, we just sit down and have those candid conversations.
That's a hilarious story about your first press release.
Embarrassing.
Oh my God. I had a similar one when I was interning for a news station. I wrote this script on this high school football player, and I showed the sports director, who's the nicest guy, brought me along, and I exaggerated some of the numbers. So they're more round, like he rushed for 1,000 yards. He's like, is this the numbers? I said, well, they're kind of close. And he just takes the script, throws it, and goes, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, it's just more round numbers. I was rounding up. He's like, that's not. But that lesson stuck with me ever since, him just throwing my script and being like, what are you doing? And it's powerful. We do work critiques in our meetings, usually weekly. So if somebody does a video, we'll put it up and we all go around and we'll let the other interns critique. We try to tell them, lead with some of the positives and then say, you know, maybe here's some of the changes. And it's a little nerve-wracking at first because your work is getting thrown up in front of, we have 26 interns getting thrown up in front of all your peers, but it's so helpful. And you're teaching all the other ones, when you do your video, don't do this. This is how to frame it. This is how to do the audio. This is where to put the microphone. Mm-hmm. So the work critiques, they actually, while they're sweating a little bit when we're going over their work, and we'll even put up articles on the big screen, read paragraph at a time. They find that very valuable, that kind of high level critique. And it definitely helps the others. You're teaching them. So I feel like the more feedback you can give them, if you have the time, that's the problem. It's the time element. But the more feedback and critiques, the better.
And I find that a lot of our critiques are more on professionalism than on the actual work. Like, they're really talented kids. But the first couple of times I had them do a video project where my superintendent was the talent, we showed up and they weren't at all ready. They were like, oh, you're here. Let's start setting up. And so I went to them afterwards and said, hey, you guys did a great job creating the video, but in any other setting, you're going to want everything done and tested and ready to go when that talent walks in. And hopefully that was one of their lessons, that will stick with them.
Yeah, that's, we try to preach that too, is professionalism. When you're going, you're interviewing the superintendent, board members, you're going to events, you gotta look like you belong. Don't show up in your throwback Nirvana t-shirt with holes in it and your flip-flops. Like, no, you're a professional. You represent the district. You represent all of us. So it's got to be professional. it's good, good message for them.
And then Carla asked about grades, if it's ever incorporated into grades. So the work they do for me is not graded work. It goes back to that work-based learning and counts towards those hours that they have to meet, but ours has never had an impact on their grades.
Yeah. One thing we've done for our students, which I thought might be cool, it's kind of old school, was we got them business cards, which is super cheap to do through our print shop. And I don't know how much they use them, but when they got the business cards, it really made them feel like professionals, and they were so excited. So that's one of those things, kind of like your letter home, that is cheap and easy to do, that provides a lot of ROI. And I tell them, because they cover a lot of games, so give this to the coach, have your email on it, tell them to get you the final score, because they'll cover a game. And I was like, what was the score? Like, oh, I don't. It's like, come on, you're a reporter, you're covering this game, you have to know the score. So that was one thing that we did that was very inexpensive, but the kids really seem to like, is those business cards.
I like that idea. I did press passes one year and got like the little lanyards with the little plastic covering and said, you're going to be out and about taking photos, you know, and I thought it was the corniest thing in the world and they were going to roll their eyes at me, but they loved it. And then life just kind of got busy and I didn't do it the next year. But I like the business card idea.
Yeah. Our kid, we do press passes just because they go to so many events and just so people that are checking them in know, but they love their press passes. They forget them a lot, but they do. They feel kind of cool with them. I thought it would be kind of geeky thing too, but they seem to like the press passes.
So Carl asked how the students interact or collaborate with our media partners. So like journalists, like media, newspaper. So the students that I know, whether it's from the ambassador program or just my intern program, are always my go-to students, because I know they can speak on behalf of the district. So if a reporter comes in and has just kind of a general story that they're doing and they need just a student quote, they're the ones I pull and I say, hey, I'm totally putting you on the spot, but can you come and talk about this topic? So I don't know if that was what you meant with that question, but I mean, our students do a great job, and that's part of their training too. At the beginning of the year,
I love the training you provide, and I've done the same with interns. If they're one of our TV stations is looking for an intern to talk to, or they're covering an event, and one of my kids is there that I know is well spoken and articulate, I'll bring them over, and they do an amazing job. Can you talk more about your training that you provide? That's awesome.
Sure. So at the beginning of the school year, we do pull them out of class. So we've debated trying to do this over the summer, like right before school starts, because I hate pulling them out of class more. But right now, we pull them out of class. We have a big meeting space, and we kind of go through some of the talking points of who we are, our vision and mission, some of the questions they may get from community or any different audiences. But then we get them up and moving, and they have to introduce them, almost like speed dating. They have to introduce themselves to the people around them. They have to go through some different kind of scenarios and practices. I've had them, you know, give the same description of what they do in their lab to different age groups. Give them that opportunity to get up and talk into a microphone. A lot of these students have never spoken into a microphone, and just it can be really awkward if you've never done it before. So we just go through different scenarios of things they might, situations they might be put into.
And how do you set up your Google Drive?
So right now it's just basically a Google folder. And I have, you know, for every school year, I have a folder for interns. And then I give access to any of my interns that need to get into it. So for like that senior spotlight campaign, there's one folder for that. There's a document with a timeline, who's doing what, contact information for everybody. And then, you know, you have just like with any Google form, you have the folder with the responses and all the graphics and everything underneath that.
Yeah, we've been using Google Drive for years in our program, and it's amazing just because you can dice it up by each semester, each year, and then different projects. And Google Drive has been great for this, for an internship program, for sure.
Absolutely.
Are students using their own iPhone to shoot photos and videos, or do you provide equipment?
So we provide equipment for our students. If they're from that digital communications program, their cameras are nicer than mine, so they have better equipment than I do. And that's part of why it's such a big benefit to assign them those photo shoots, because they for the education, it's educational equipment. They invest in better equipment than what I have. So they have their own stuff.
One of the first trainings we do is, because most of our kids have phones, is smartphone, how to use it to the best of your ability and the apps and stuff. And then over the years, we've slowly acquired a couple cameras and stuff that the students can rent out. So it's kind of a hybrid, but don't feel like you need this stockpile of cameras and stuff to start your program. Just start it, get what you can get, talk to some of your media production classes if they have hand-me-downs, or try and get a budget. But we started basically with nothing and slowly kind of added up in our program. So, and the students, a lot of them do have their own equipment. They have their own phones. They have nice cameras. So don't let equipment be a barrier for your program. Carla, you get the award for most questions asked and most interest. We appreciate it. You came prepared. Sounds like you're on the verge of starting your own internship like tomorrow. Love it. Love it. And Liliana, for students who shoot video on their phone, what platform are they using to edit? For us, I used to love iMovie, and then iMovie just kind of stops updating itself. So there's a couple apps. I forget off the top of my head. I still struggle because I'm using iMovie when we do quick stuff, but there's a million apps on there. Highly recommend. Oh, CapCut. Yeah, I've definitely heard of that. Mm-hmm. So there's so many options, and most of them are free. So there's not an endless. Oh, Sarah doubles the recommendation on CapCut.
I'll triple that on CapCut.
Oh, nice. I'm gonna write that down right now to myself. I was a fan of iMovie for years, and then they just kind of, like sometimes with Google, like, oh, we're kind of over that, and they stop investing in it. You're like, great, CapCut for the win.
It's really good if you have like a bunch of photos from an event that you don't know what to do with, and you can just kind of dump them all in, and it'll automatically make really fun transitions in and out and movement. And it makes those really fast cuts that are just so time consuming.
That's great. Cause we're so photo heavy. We cover a lot of events with photos, but when we post the photos, obviously, but if that's a quick, easy program for photos, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
Nice. Awesome. All right. We've taken up everyone's time. Alicia, thank you so much. Your program is in. How long have you been doing this program, by the way?
That initial ambassador program, I inherited that 15 years ago, but the internship program, it really just kind of grew organically from about, I think when we all came back from COVID in like 2020, suddenly students couldn't go really out into the businesses. And then they said, oh, but I could work with Mrs. Mowry. And then suddenly they realized that's not necessarily a bad thing. That could be fun. So it's kind of grew organically from there. So it's still fairly new, a couple of years.
Yeah. And like you said, in their feedback, I think doing the bonding activities, we kind of start out doing a question, a bonding, then we'll do like dog meetings at the park, but stuff to get to know the kids better, I think helps a ton. And, Amber and I think she hopped off, but one of our interns came running up to us last week at an event. I was like, what's super excited that she got into Berkeley, and was like, nice. The most exciting thing. It was the coolest thing because she was so excited to tell us that she got in. And so that's the fun part. We do our jobs, but working with students, mentoring them, and then having an impact is beyond rewarding. So I'd encourage everybody. It's the best part of my job for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, Alicia, thank you so much. If people have any questions for you, how can they get in touch with you?
So my email is, I can say it. Well, here, you know what? I'll just put it in the chat. You can shoot me an email whenever you want. There, if you want to grab that before any of us log off, I'm always happy to talk about interns and students and what we do, or career tech in general. So feel free to shoot me a message.
Awesome. Can you put the link to your slides in the chat too, real quick? Is that possible?
Yes.
And I agree with your point on Canva, because we tried with our magazine, one of the students wanted to use InDesign. I'm like, fine. And it was a disaster because nobody could edit it besides him. So we reverted to Canva, and it's just so much easier for project sharing and getting multiple people in there. So that's good advice there. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for doing this, Alicia. Terrific program. Your students are lucky to have you. You have so many creative ideas that I know we're all going to be stealing. And this is the advantage of, you know, people have internships in this group, but just learning different quick little ideas to help kind of make your program more effective, more rewarding for the students. So great information, great job. And thank you so much.
Thanks for hosting, Ryan. Always appreciate you getting us together.
For sure. My pleasure. Thanks everyone for joining, and we'll be in touch. Maybe we'll have one more meeting this year, squeeze one in. If not, we'll be back in action next year.